Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Let's have a Monday, shall we? Grant and Danny on the Fan, thank you for making the show part of your day. We appreciate it. Brought to you by the law firm Condori and Murrah that will help you to draft the last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. And be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Jay Gruden will join us every single Monday, all season long, at 5 p.m., and he's on the Rude guest hotline.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, your F-150 HQ, Ted Britt Lincoln in Chantilly, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, all home to Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle coverage, see and shop them all at TedBritt.com.
So, Jay, let's start with the news of the day. A sprained knee for Jaden Daniels, status for Sunday against the Raiders in doubt. When you hear a sprained knee for a quarterback who's a dual threat and runs around, what do you think?
Any injury for Jaden Daniels is concerning, without a doubt. You know, he's what makes that team tick. And, you know, without him, it's going to be a struggle. But hopefully sprained knees are not anything serious. Hopefully it's a week or two, or maybe he can play and deal with it. But I don't know the severity of it. Nobody really does with a strained knee. It's hard for me to imagine the time frame. Well, he'll be back to 100% and what he needs to do to be great on the field.
Jay, what factors would go into your decision-making as to when to play him?
I guess you got to see him run. You know what I mean? You got to see him burst off that leg, and I got to make sure that's 100%. I don't want to risk further damage. The trainer says he can go and there's no risk of further damage. Obviously there's always a risk, but you know what I'm saying? If he tackled and then I'd let him play, but I'm not letting him play until he's back to 100%. I can see him running that 4.3 40 that he can run.
So he came up lame, so to speak, on a couple different plays. He grabs at his knee after he kind of landed on his head, getting, you know, turned upside down, like cleat overhead at the 30-yard line. And then there was another play later in the game, but he finished. I know a lot of people have talked about that he stayed out there and he finished. And I've just always said that's not that indicative of, like, timelines and how serious something is, because you got the adrenaline and the swelling hasn't happened yet and all that. What's your experience on that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, you can get through a game a lot of times, and then when you have that next day where you wake up, get out of bed, you can hardly walk. You know, I've had that with my shoulders before. I've had that with my knees before, and it's pretty painful. You know, it's just a matter of he's got the extra couple days, which is good, to get a lot of treatment. He's got to be in and out of that hot tub and getting his massages and what he needs to have done to try to get that thing ready. I don't think there's 100% chance that he's out, but I think that if he can manage it and he can still run, I think he can still play with a sprained knee.
What level of nervousness would you operate with, or just how cautious would you be as it pertains to two things? One, the fact that he is a running quarterback, that's part of the superpower, right? He was, you know, a 900-yard guy or 800-yard guy as a rookie, that he had 70 rushing yards in his first game. And then secondly, just the fact that it's week three of this 17-game, 18-week marathon, like, would you just say, hey, come on, man, give us 1 week here, let's rest up, it's just, you know, one game, and we'll get you back out there? Or if he was a pocket passer, do you view it any differently? Because he's not taking the same shots and running around as much. How do you kind of balance all that?
Yeah, with the protection the way it is right now, he is taking the shots in the pocket. That's the issue that I have. And the lack of running game is apparent right now, where they're becoming one-dimensional. Now, if they're going to hand the ball off and do some quick game and keep him in the pocket, get the ball out of his hands, then, yeah, I think he can go ahead and play. And I would eliminate the quarterback-designed runs. Let him scramble up the middle here and there and slide for a couple yards for maybe a first down. Sure, I think he can do that. But they have to really figure out a way to get this running game going for him to play again so he can take some pressure off of him, where it's not the quarterback design run. It's not the scramble. It's not to keep him plays alive, where he can throw some balls on rhythm, hand the ball off, get some play actions, get him outside the pocket a little bit. Then he can function. But he can't function if they played like they played against Green Bay, or one-dimensional, having to throw within the pocket all the time.
Yeah, and Jay Gruden with us here on G&E. What did you make of that game? We haven't talked to you since then. Just about that. How much of that is Green Bay's great defense, great plan, great execution, et cetera, and how much is, you know, maybe what Washington's not doing?
Yeah, I think Green Bay's got a good defense. They shut down Detroit, and they played great against Washington. You saw what Detroit did against Chicago this week. They scored 52. So I think a lot of credit has to go to Green Bay. And then, you know, there's just a lot of concerns with the offensive line that I have right now. But I don't think they're gelling right now. I don't think the left guard, left tackle play well together. The right tackle's struggling mightily. Connolly's he's not ready. I mean, they need to help him out a lot. So, yeah, I have concerns with the offensive line. Getting holes for the running game, that's not happening. Protecting the quarterback, that's not happening. So they got some issues to figure out up front. They got to get gelling together and play a little more physical.
You said Connolly's not ready in your mind. Do you still like him as a prospect, and how would you handle that spot?
Any big guys that can move their feet like he can is a good prospect to have. You know, it's just a matter if he switched from left tackle to right tackle, and that takes some time. You know, he's just not a real physical guy right now. He's got to play more with his legs, and we use some power every now and then. He's catching everybody, and they're pushing him back a lot, and he's not getting any movement in the running game. So he's got a lot of work to do. I mean, he's a good prospect for sure, but I just don't know if he's ready to be thrown into the fire against these players. He's playing against Micah Parsons. He's playing, you know, next week will be – who's it going to be next week?
They Max play the Raiders? Crosby.
Yeah, this got no chance. So need some help. I don't know what to do, what the answer is, but he is a good prospect. He's just not playing very good up to his potential right now. He's a rookie, for God's sakes.
Would you consider starting Andrew Wiley over him against Crosby and just giving him a reset?
Yeah, 100%. I'd have to concern that. After watching the film of the first 2 weeks, you know, I'm sure the offensive line coaches grade them, and I'm sure everybody in the building wanted to draft them. They drafted them in the first round. They want to try to make it work. But at some point, Andrew Wiley played pretty good last year at right tackle, I thought. You know, and they went to the NFC Championship game, for God's sakes, with him at right tackle. So I would not hesitate to put him in there at right tackle, let Connerly be the backup swing tackle for a few weeks and see what happens and just give him time to get better.
He's allowed an NFL-high 11 pressures through two games, by the way, Jay. 9 in the last game.
That's probably being generous. There's been others where the defensive end is right in Jaden's face where he can't throw too. So, it's tough, man. It's a tough position. He's played against very good defenses. We'll give him that, but that's too many. And then you're playing against Max Crosby. We got to get Wiley out there. Got to get more experience this week and get him ready for maybe mid-season run because, you know, tackles get injured. I know that firsthand. So he's going to have to be used quite often as the season goes on, just not yet.
Jay, how would you handle that Thursday into then this sort of mini, it's not a bye week, but it's a little bit of a break into this next game. Rough one for everybody Thursday. We got a bunch of injuries sort of piling up here. How would you handle kind of that mini break and then sort of getting after it almost like do you burn the film or, you know, how do you view that and how would you handle that as a coach getting ready for this next one?
No, I think you have a lot of time to really self-scout and see what you've been doing good, bad in the first 2 weeks, especially up front. We got to figure this thing out up front. We got to figure out how we're blocking on these double teams and these pulling plays and all that stuff and the back blocks and the pass protections, the running backs stepping up in holes. You know, a couple times I saw the running backs cut linebackers in the hole and the linebackers jumping over and almost killing Jaden. I mean, you can't cut a linebacker in a hole in a blitz. It drives me nuts. So they got to fix a lot of things from a technique standpoint. And then schematically, Cliff's got to come up some things to get some guys open, especially on third down. Can't just run hitches out there and slant it to Lane, who's not a big receiver, and can expect Jaden to find completion. So they got to find good matchups offensively, fix their protection, their running game combinations, and they'll be fine. I mean, it takes some time. They had a short week. They only had 3 days to get ready for one of the best defenses in football, so we'll give them a pass on that one. But now they have an extra time to get their team ready to play a pretty tough Raider team who's going to come off a short week a little bit.
Jay, we had a caller about 20 minutes ago asking about Terry McLaurin's slow start and if it's relevant that he didn't participate for a month leading up to the season. And while it'd be easy to say yes, I mean, he is, through two games, been more productive than he was in the first two games last year. So the slow start thing for him is not necessarily new. But what are you seeing when you watch him?
We had the same discussion last year. Everybody's ready to give up on the guy, and and he came on like gangbusters and made huge play after huge play. So I think it's a matter of, trying to get him some matchups that he can win instead of leaving him on the same side of the field all the time, and some formations to get him some relief from time to time. That'll help a lot, and I think Cliff did that last year. Got him some screens, got him some balls out in space where he can catch and run, and then, you know, take some shots with him. Everybody's well aware that Terry McLaurin can run by us, so they're giving him some cushion, and on third and five, they're sitting on him a little bit, so we got to find the happy medium to try to get him the ball somehow, and then Debo's got to make some plays, and the third, fourth, or fifth receiver, I don't know who that is right now. I'm not a big Luke McCaffrey, Noah Brown guy. He had four or five targets and had one catch. Lane is not quite ready yet, so they got to find that other weapon as well to go along with those two guys, especially at the receiver position.
How much will they miss Austin Ekeler?
They'll miss him. You know, they're going to put a lot on this rookie's plate. You know, and Rodriguez got to get back in there. I think they need Rodriguez in there a little bit more for the in between the tackle tough yardage. I'm not sure Krosky Merritt's ready for that pounding in there. I think they need to do it by committee. And those two or three backs that they have right now, I think they can manage it. I don't anticipate one guy doing it, but Eckler's missed, especially with what he does in the passing game. I don't know who that's going to be in the passing game to take over for Ekeler.
Maybe McNichols got the shot to do it last year. They also signed Chase Edmonds, who was with Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona, so maybe he gets an opportunity. Flipping to the defensive side of the ball, Jay Gruden is with us. Weekly Monday appointment after Commanders games, after watching all the tape, to break it down with us on Grant and Danny. Jay, Marshawn Lattimore had a rough go of it. I thought week one was a lot better than what last year looked like, but he did get penalized three times in that game. Another couple of penalties in this game already, now five on the season, four that were accepted. What did you make of his performance?
Yeah, I thought the defense in general struggled a little bit, without a doubt. I think Sainz Strobe missed a couple things. I think Harris missed a few things. You know, the touchdown pass to the tight end, I think that was Harris. He had to get back there with the tight end. You know, it's a combination. The interior defensive lineman didn't do very good against Josh Jacobs in that running game. They pushed him around quite a bit. So there's a lot of issues to be had. I don't think defensively you could say, well, you know, it was all on Marshawn Lattimore, was all on the secondary, was all on the defensive line. It was a combination. Sometimes the defensive line played good in their gaps, and sometimes the DBs didn't play well or tackle well. So a lot of issues right now they got to fix up. They got to fix up and get the right combinations out there. They got to gel together as a unit and not try to, you know, mix and match too many personnel changes out there. Sometimes I don't even know who's out there at safety. So they got to find the right guys and just play harder, play better, tackle better. Quit giving up the 95-yard drives. Green Bay had two of them.
Yeah, Jay, it feels like, you know, just thinking of a couple samples, that Matt LaFleur has gotten the better of Dan Quinn and his defenses over the years. Did you have anybody like that where, you know, just for whatever reason, scheme, design, et cetera, you just had their number?
I would like to play against the Ryan brothers anytime. You know, when they were the Saints, we gutted them. And when I was at Cincinnati, we got Rex pretty good when he was with the Jets. But I just had success with them for some reason. They're great defensive coaches, that's for sure. But I just a lot of it's personnel related, really. You know, it's, you want to get after the corners and the secondary and the way they're playing their coverages. You have coverage beaters for that, but you got to be able to protect them. That's the issue right now, the Washington. I think Cliff knows how to get after defenses, but right now they're not doing a good enough job of protecting Jaden to try to get second and third level type throws behind the defense.
John Bates has become such an important player for them. And I'll tip my cap to you on this. A few years ago when you were coming on with us, you were basically crushing the fact that they just didn't have any tight ends that could block. And he's come on after they drafted him like gangbusters to take that role. He's become really good. He's got a hurt groin. We don't know about his availability this weekend yet. But, man, did they struggle when they couldn't keep him in because he wasn't in the game to help out Connerly. Like, if he's not out there, how different will things look for them? And how, if you don't have a, you know, that blocking tight end, how much could that change how you call things if you're Cliff?
It changes a lot. You got to have help out there, and maybe it's going to be Ben. I guess it'll have to be Ben. But somebody's got to get out there and help him out. Zach's going to have to step up and put his chin strap on and his mouthpiece in this game. He's got to have to be more physical and help out Connerly. And maybe they use Connerly as the extra tackle like Detroit has done, like a lot of teams have done. They play Wiley and then play Connerly as the extra tackle to try to get more beef up there, especially on the right side, on Max Crosby's side. There are certain things you can do to try to negate Max Crosby. It's easier said than done, but they're going to have to do something creative to help the right tackle, whoever it is.
Let me go flip side, a little more positive here, Jay. Are there any players that you've gone, man, I'm actually pretty impressed with that guy through just a couple of games here?
With the Commanders right now?
Yeah, with Washington, yeah.
Not really. Not on offense really right now. Nobody that is unexpected. You know, Jaden and Debo, and you're expecting Terry to have some big plays. Nothing's really happened offensively, exciting-wise. I guess Kroski Merritt has done some pretty good things at running back, who I really didn't know a whole lot about. He's been impressive a little bit, but the left side of the line hasn't been very good. Center's been excellent still. Right side line's been average. Tight end play hasn't really been very existent. Zach Ertz had a couple hits, but he's got to get some more juice and some big playability. Hopefully Terry McLaurin can do that and some more creativity on offense, and I think they'll be fine.
Circle back to Jaden Daniels real quick with Jay Gruden, then we'll hit a couple NFL things before we let you go. On Jaden, what would he have to do on the practice field for you to give him a go? You mentioned like wanting to see him sprint, as the thing you actually want to see with your eyes.
Yeah, change of direction. You know, his change of direction is so unique and unbelievably effective. His ability to make people miss in the pocket, outside the pocket. So I want to see him change direction. Really, maybe have him do a short shuttle like a whole combine. I want to see you change direction, man. I got to make sure you can stick your foot in the ground and let it rip. That's one. Number two, I got to see you step up in the pocket. Three, I got to see you avoid contact, get outside the pocket, move side to side. That's what you got to see a quarterback do.
Could you play him if he was just like limited Friday with nothing else? Like never a full practice?
Depending on, you know, how much I felt good about Marcus Mariota. If I felt good about Mariota taking over, which he played pretty well when he played last year, maybe I count on Marcus. But if Jaden can sit back there and throw the ball 7-on-7, do some things in the play action game and still hand the ball off from under center, do some things, then – and he, you know, it's up to Jaden and the trainers for me. I would always leave it up to the quarterback, number one, and then number two, the trainers. And if they both gave me the thumbs up, then I'm going to play him. If not, then I'm not going to make a decision to sit him because I'm worried about him getting hurt when the trainers tell me he's okay and the quarterback tells me he's okay. So it's up to the quarterback and it's up to the trainers for me.
Go around the league with you a little bit here, Jay. The Colts 2-0. Daniel Jones has looked pretty good. It seems like Shane Steichen finally found somebody that can run his offense the way he wants.
Yeah, they haven't punted yet either. That's pretty amazing. So yeah, I think they have a lot of good weapons, and they're utilizing Jonathan Taylor, and they got this tight end, Tyler Warren. I don't know how he's a second tight end picked in the draft. I have no idea how that happened. But yeah, they have some weapons, and they're really calling a good game. Their defense is doing well, and Daniel's protecting the football, not turning the ball over. So that's a good recipe. They got a huge break in that game against Denver with the elevating call and the field goal, the stupidest call ever. But they're playing well.
Yeah, I hate that rule, and I hate the call more than the rule. Warren, by the way, 80 yards receiving yesterday. I'm guessing you mean that he should have been the first tight end drafted, is what you were saying.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, I don't know how you can say, I'm going to let this 6'6" big son of a gun go and take this other guy. But anyway, we'll never know. We'll see how Loveland does here, but he's had 2 catches for 5 yards. I know because he's on my fantasy team.
Colston Loveland to the Bears, oof. Yeah. Went first. What about Falcons, Vikings? That was the Sunday night game last night. A couple of the sophomore quarterbacks who haven't played a lot. Michael Penix, J.J. McCarthy. It was not pretty under center for either guy really last evening. But what'd you make out of their performances?
Yeah, you know, J.J. struggled mightily the first game, first 3 quarters, and then lit it up against the Bears in the 4th quarter and, you know, came back and win, and everybody's happy. And then this game, he kind of took another step back. You know, I think with J.J., they're going to have to count on a really, really strong running game, just like he did at Michigan, and then a couple play actions and some dropbacks to try to get Justin Jefferson the ball. So they just got to figure out what their identity is. It's very hard to say, okay, let's hand the ball off when we have Justin Jefferson out there and Adam Thielen and Hawkinson, you know, and they're blocking. You're like, hey, we can't have these guys block all day, but they're going to have to figure out a way to pound the ball between the tackles and then get J.J. on some play action passes to make it a little bit easier for him.
What do you make of Kansas City's 0-2 start?
Played 2 really good teams. I know that, you know, and yeah, so I think they'll be okay. They've struggled with, you know, ever since they lost Tyreek with the weapons, and they don't have anybody that scares you at all on offense. The running game's not very good. Obviously the speed outside is very average, and Patrick's having to do it all by moving around in the pocket and buying time and making ad lib plays. And that can run out pretty quick. You know, it's very tough to do that on a consistent basis. They just got to find some rhythm, timing-type throws, move the chains, keep their defense fresh because they still have a pretty good defense.
Hey, you called it with Russ Wilson. You said the tape suggested he didn't play that badly and basically that the offense around him was an issue and it wasn't like it was just operator error. He throws for 450 and 3 yesterday against the Cowboys and I guess won't hear any calls for his job this week.
Well, he had 2 horrible plays in the overtime. You know, the ball that he tried to pull. pulled back and it went backwards and they had to punt the first time. They had a chance to just kick a field goal and beat them. And then the second thing, he threw a horrible interception, which enabled the Cowboys to come down and win that football game. But he did play well up until that point. Malik Nabers is unbelievable. And that's kind of what you expect from the Giant offense. But, you know, the Cowboy defense, we know they were 30th last year and they're probably going to be 30th again this year. They didn't do anything to address it, really. And they lost their best player. So I expect when the Commanders play the Cowboys, I expect there to be fireworks to be had.
Who do you like tonight between Tampa and Houston?
Man, that's a tough one. I'm probably going to take Houston just because I know how loud it is there. You know, when I was with the Bengals, we played them in the playoffs 2 years in a row. I couldn't hear myself think for a month. It is so loud there, and I think that'll have an impact. I mean, I really like Houston's defense. I think they'll get after Baker and do enough offensively to get a few points. I don't expect a lot of points, but I expect Houston to get it done.
Jay, Mac Jones gets a start for Kyle Shanahan yesterday, who it was rumored was going to take him at number 3 overall before they went Trey Lance, which obviously backfired. But Jones throws for 283 touchdowns, no picks. Not a bad first start for him outside of New England and Jacksonville getting an opportunity. What'd you think?
Yeah, played good. You know, New Orleans isn't very good, but he did a good job. And Kyle does a good job with the quarterbacks. And that's something you have to do with the young quarterback. And you have to really protect him with the running game, with McCaffrey and the play actions. And guys can manage that, man. If you don't get stuck in third and long all day and you're playing with the lead, you can control the quarterback and how you can protect him as a play caller. And that's what Kyle Shanahan specializes in. Now, he struggles when he gets into known passing situations like every other coach for the most part. But he does a good job with quarterbacks when he's first, second down.
Hey, did you hear the story that Shador Sanders told the Ravens in the 5th round he didn't want them to draft him?
I heard that.
What do you make of that?
I don't know why. I think it's the idiotic thing to do, really. I think you should be – it should be a privilege to play behind Lamar Jackson and learn from Lamar Jackson. You know, Lamar's had a little bit of an injury history himself, and be able to put as a backup to Lamar Jackson and learn from Lamar would be awesome, you know, for a couple of years. When you're going in the 5th round, you're not expecting to get the starting role from day one of training camp. You know what I mean? 6th round, you're going to probably have to earn it through injury or earn it through the course of a year, maybe 2 years. I don't know why you think you have the right to say no to any team that wants to draft you.
I was I got this weird email from these odds makers, and it said that someone in your family is the odds-on favorite to be the head coach at UCLA next. What do you think?
UCLA?
UCLA.
I don't think there's any chance in hell that happens.
This
God.
John
Gruden to
any
UCLA. NIL money
you don't like the fit there?
You don't think so?
Only if they have a crazy ton of money to pay their players. If not, he ain't going there. I mean, this is all about the money in a college football right now. If you don't have a big bankroll, you ain't going to win. You're not going to get any players. Well, but Clemson's struggling right now. They got a ton of money. So you never know. I don't know what he's going to do. John loves a coach, and he's probably going to get in it somehow, some way. I know he wants to get back in the NFL, but I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But if a college team comes a call and they got some money, then he'll probably go.
UCLA, I would think, has a plenty of money, don't they? Why wouldn't they have cash?
Hey, they lost to UNLV and who else last week?
Oh, they're terrible.
Yeah, they're awful.
But Deshaun, I mean, I don't know if you've seen any of Deshaun Foster's press conferences. I think John might be a slight upgrade on the sideline if it worked out.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on there, but it's hard to take over a team that loses to UNLV by 20. But yeah, you never know. With the NIL the way it is, you go right to the portal, you get well quick, right? You find yourself a quarterback for $5, $6, $7, $8 million, get yourself some big linemen, a couple of guys that can rush the passer, and who knows?
Well, to that
John
point,
Gruden could do it.
So, like, I have a buddy who's constantly texting me, and the same email you're referencing, by the way, Danny, with like email, it's the odds, rather, of like who should be hired at these places. For Virginia Tech, the big thing is everybody wants Michael Vick to be the head coach. And this is what people used to do like 15 years ago. It would drive me crazy. They'd call in and they'd be like, fire everyone and hire Brian Mitchell as the coach on kick returns, and hire Santana Moss at wide receiver and Ryan Kerrigan at defensive end. But now it's happening. Like, you see DeSean Jackson as a head coach. Michael Vick is a head coach. It's like none of these guys have coaching experience, but what I gather is they're smart football guys, I think. But the gist is, like, it's the Deion thing of, like, they are the face of the program. You recruit people that want to come play for Deion Sanders or whatever, and it's kind of a portal play in a sense. So I don't know if Michael Vick's a real candidate at Virginia Tech or not. I'm kind of old-fashioned in the way of, like, wanting to hire people that have coached before to be my head coach, a big-time program. But this is, like, the way of the world, to your point. It's wild.
Yeah. I don't know what to make of it anymore. I know that Virginia Tech lost to Old Dominion. There was 28-0 at one time, so maybe Michael Vick would be a fit. Maybe D'Angelo Hall. How about that?
Dude, I like D'Angelo has coaching experience. So he doesn't even fit the mantra here.
I'd rather have D'Angelo. Well, Michael Vick's getting some experience now, so who knows? He might be a great coach. And, you know, a lot of it depends, too, who you're going to hire on your staff. You know, a lot of people think that I'm going to hire this young ex-player, but who's going to be his line coach? Who's going to be his D-line coach, his secondary, D coordinator? There's a lot of issues you have to, you know, have. Who's going to help them pick players? You know, so it's not just about the head coach nowadays. It's more actually probably more about the recruiting process in the portal.
Jay, awesome catch up with you as always, buddy. We'll talk next week.
You got it. Thank you, guys.
Be good, man. There's Jay Gruden.
On Air and On the Rope, Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 HQ, Ted Britt Lincoln and Chantilly, and Ted Britt Chevrolet and Sterling, all home to Ted Britt for life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com.
Here we go. Mina Kimes of ESPN says Jaden Daniels is going to have to change the way he plays. I've not heard the audio yet. We will play it next and react on Grant and Danny.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
So this floated across my timeline. I have not yet heard the audio. I wanted to hear it in real time with you guys so that I am not prejudgmental. But Mina Kimes of ESPN suggested, based on the caption I'm reading, that Jaden Daniels needs to change the way he plays. And then subsequently, she was asked by somebody, why does he have to change the way he plays? And Joe Burrow doesn't when Joe Burrow gets hurt all the time. And she had an interesting comment about that I want to go through. But let's hear the audio first to start the conversation. It's an important as a backdrop to remember. Based on his frame, one of the big questions on Jaden Daniels coming out was durability. And to his credit, amazingly, last year he played in every single game. Now, a month of those games, four of those games, he played with a broken rib. Nobody's questioning that toughness. But here we are now dealing with this knee in week two of the NFL season going into week three. But this was Mina Kimes on ESPN today.
My concern for this is more about Jaden Daniels' career. He has to take less contact. Through the first 2 weeks of the season, he leads all quarterbacks in QB contact, 29, both as a passer, QB hits, scrambling. And you could say, well, he played two difficult defenses. The Packers' defense looks amazing. He led all quarterbacks in QB contact last year. He led all quarterbacks in scramble rate last year. It's just not sustainable. And he is a quarterback who can win from the pocket. And he can be a part of that designed run game without it being the bulk of it the way it has been, frankly, through much of the season. So I think this got to be some tough conversations with Daniels about his style of play with an eye towards his continued longevity because he is too special to absorb this much contact.
29 hits, 12 by the Packers last week. Leads the NFL to this point. Now, the 12 quarterback hits were in the pocket. This counts all of the runs and the scrambles as well. So he's been contacted on 29 plays over two games. But she points out that last year, no quarterback, you want to call them collisions, you want to call them car crashes, whatever, no quarterback was contacted more than Jaden Daniels was. And we've talked about the scramble rate a lot. His rushing yards primarily came not from designed runs, where you kind of dictate where he's at on the field, mm-hmm. and who is around him and what kind of defense is going to be able to get shots at him. But scrambles, where it is just not as dictatable. You know, you think back to, I know even just bringing up the name in this conversation will bother people, but like the Robert Griffin play with Haloti Ngata or whatever is like a scramble. It seems like those are the more dangerous plays because there's a spontaneity.
Less control. That's absolutely not the right word, but that's what it is.
So then she was asked by someone, why does Daniels have to change the way he plays, but Joe Burrow doesn't? She said, because Daniels scrambled not only at the highest rate in the NFL last year, but at a historically high rate. It's always going to be a part of his game, but they need to protect him from taking so much contact. That will be viewed as a hot take and, you know, annoying to people. I actually think it's completely correct.
I agree with every word. So, yeah, to me, it's very simple. I don't have a great analogy for it, but if you ever watch that F1 show on Netflix, Drive to Survive, there's a reason they don't take those F1 racing cars. You don't go down to the 7-Eleven to pick up a Slurpee in that. You use it for the special thing. You have to use it judiciously. It would be, you'd get everywhere faster if you just use your F1 car. You drove it around the Beltway a couple times. You'd probably beat your Honda Civic in most commutes. But there's a reason you don't do that. That's kind of my point about this running stuff. Every time you drop back, every time you have the football in your hands, you are at risk. There are certain inevitable risks that come with the position. Again, see Cincinnati. See the moment he threw to Terry McLaurin where you knew he was going to get hit. You got to step up, deliver the football, you get hit in the chops. That's part and parcel with the position. And guys have been hurt doing that, certainly. And I'm very aware of that fact. But the contact rate, the point that Mita Kimes makes, is correct. It's indisputable. And some of it is avoidable contact if you're Jaden Daniels. Now, the thing that Lamar Jackson learned early in his career, when he was hurt a bunch too, is where the danger is, it seems. I've never actually spoken to Lamar Jackson about this, but his play would sort of dictate it. Daniels doesn't have enough, I need to get out of danger. The sideline is my friend. He does it sometimes when the run takes him towards the sideline. There is too often, think of the play he got hurt on. Think of more times than often where he's escaping to the middle.
Which play did he got hurt on? The one where he went up in the air and landed on his shoulder? Or the one where he twisted his leg all up?
Fair enough. I mean, there were moments last year where he ended up not getting hurt, thankfully, but it wasn't because of the process was good. The sideline needs to be calling to him like a siren, and he must get there way more often than he does. He needs to avoid contact at a much higher rate. He's not Cam Newton. He's not framed that way. He's a slighter player, and it was my number one and remains really my only concern about him long-term as a player is his ability to stay available because of his frame and because he's not afraid. And God bless him. I love him so much. And I would tell him, I need you. I need you to be safe at all times. Sacrifice a couple yards here. When you get clear, you get to the sideline. If you get more yards, do it. But get to that sideline.
You know, it's amazing to me. So, first of all, Lamar Jackson, who is the preeminent running quarterback right now, stays healthy at a really high rate. And you kind of draw some examples as to what you think is different about him versus Daniels in the way of running to the outside, using the sideline as his friend. He does seem to take on less contact. Early in his career, if you remember, Lamar Jackson got hurt a lot.
He did. Yes.
And it's part of why initially, I don't want to say I was out, but I never thought it would be a sustainable perennial MVP candidate, one of the best teams in the AFC every single year thing. I just didn't think there'd be enough longevity to his game. But he has played in 15 or more games now, four times over six seasons, to his credit. Some of those years, I'm guessing you miss a game at the end because your team's headed to the playoffs or whatever.
Multiple times that happened, yeah.
There were a couple of years, though, where he missed a month at the end of the season. And remember, even playoff games, like where Tyler Huntley would come in 2021 and 2022,
yes.
Where he was not there in the final few weeks. So there is an element of the track record says you're more at risk. But Daniels' rushing is way more scramble-driven than Lamar's designed runs. And I think that's what Mina Kimes is getting at. His scramble rate, pull the ball down and run, is historical. It is unlike anything that we've really seen. Is it sustainable? I think that's a fair enough question at his frame. And secondly, when she suggests the hits that he's taking, when you add up hits in the pocket, which hopefully fixable by getting the ball out faster, that's your play caller, by improving your offensive line, which will get better and better ideally. Josh Connerly will improve all of these things. You know, now I dictate how many hits I take as a rusher, and I can lower that number on my own. But she's saying it's 29 hits through two games. It doesn't work. 14 and a half hits. Contact plays, I'll call it. 14 and a half times you're in a collision per game over 17 games at his frame. You're just asking for problems. And it goes back to last year where he was number one in this. And I think it's interesting. What do you guys make of this? 800-636-1067. Mina Kimes saying, first off, that the scramble percentage has to come down, but maybe more importantly, that they need to have a conversation with Jaden Daniels because there are too many plays combined in the pocket and running where he's taking shots. Led the league last year, far and away the leader through a couple of games this year. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
I know lots of the questions will be about our QB, but I can say here's what I know. And when I say that, it's all really that I know. So he did have an MRI, and he has already begun his return to play process with us. He is truly day-to-day. What does that mean for Sunday? I can't tell you that now. I'll have more to share on that when we get to Wednesday and practice and what that would look like.
Dan Quinn of your Commanders, who are 1-1, coming off of a decisive loss in Lambeau against the Packers. They've got a home game on Sunday against the Raiders team that plays tonight. So how about that? Washington flew home Thursday night, has been resting Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Get back to work at the facility today, and then the Raiders play tonight. Won't get home until the wee hours of the morning, and then quick turnaround. They'll be in the office tomorrow watching the tape and licking their wounds before getting back on the field Wednesday and flying out, I don't know, Friday night, Saturday morning for a Sunday game at 10 local time. Bodes well for Washington. What doesn't is that Jaden Daniels may not play. The question we're asking you guys is for your reactions to what Mina Kimes had to say. Do you think he needs to scramble less? Do you think he needs to reconsider his style of play? Or is that an overreaction? Anytime a guy who's a dual threat and can run gets banged up in a violent sport. This was Mina Kimes on ESPN.
My concern for this is more about Jaden Daniels' career. He has to take less contact. Through the first 2 weeks of the season, he leads all quarterbacks in QB contact, 29, both as a passer, QB hits, and scrambling. And you can say, well, he played two difficult defenses. The Packers' defense looks amazing. He led all quarterbacks in QB contact last year. He led all quarterbacks in scramble rate last year. It's just not sustainable. And he is a quarterback who can win from the pocket. And he can be a part of that designed run game without it being the bulk of it the way it has been, frankly, through much of the season. So I think this got to be some tough conversations with Daniels about his style of play with an eye towards his continued longevity because he is too special to absorb this much contact.
So a couple of things I really liked about that. Number one, I've been asking for more designed runs. And again, maybe someone smarter than me could tell me this is wrong, but I do think you dictate more terms when you design the run into an area and you can account for who's there to block and help and where the sideline is, than just a scramble, you know, a gotta-go moment. And she talks about designing more runs, which they had zero design runs as an example against the Packers for all of the times you saw him leave the pocket. That's number one. Number two, she makes such a good point about Jaden Daniels can win as a passer. He is an exceptional passer. Now, the secret sauce is going to be the dual threat ability. That's what he's got that a lot of guys don't. It's the 14-yard touchdown run against the Bengals in the preseason where he wants number one, unavailable, comes back to number two a tick too late, as he said, not there, comes back to number three, doesn't want to get a guy blown up in the preseason, tucks the ball, takes off, 14-yard touchdown run. All happens within a second and a half. If you're a pocket passer without wheels, that play's dead as soon as it was called into the headset by your coordinator because you didn't get the right coverage. And he makes you right. So that's always going to be part of his game, and it should be part of his game, Danny. But maybe, I guess her point is, you turn up a little bit of the passing and down a little bit of the running. If it wasn't a concern, if there wasn't an injury last year, if it's not two games in and there's already an injury this year, you know, maybe this wouldn't be the rhetoric today nationally on television.
Yeah, I mean, so for tourists, for people that don't follow every play and every time he, you know, inhales and exhales like we do locally, for people like, you know, that are just kind of tuning in, they go, well, last year he had a rib. Yeah, but they don't remember when he got his helmet turned sideways against the Giants in week two, or he got blasted in week number one against Tampa Bay, or that they had to call timeout against Atlanta because he got hit so damn hard, Mariota had to come on the field and, like, help him get up.
Or when his leg got folded up under him in that
also
Atlanta
against
game.
Atlanta. Like, those hold your breath, oh my God moments. Then he bounces up and he's fine. He has that you know, killer smile that's worth all the money. Can't wait to pay him. And he shakes it off until he doesn't. And that's kind of the point here. This is a process thing. You can't eliminate every hit. It is football. The entire goal of the defensive teams that you're going up against is, how do we hit that guy? We got to hit that guy legally. And there are rules to protect it, but still, you're going to hit him. That's how you affect things. That's how you win football games, is to hit the quarterback as often as possible. When we're sitting here talking about defense, can they get to the quarterback? Can they get to the quarterback? That is how you do this thing. So you're going to get hit some. That's all part of it. The point is, you have to limit the times where you get blasted sideways and folded up on, etc. There's a play in that went down and nobody noticed it. It was the Giants-Cowboys game. Yesterday. There's a read option scheduled. Russell Wilson has it off the left side. He's got about 3 yards. If it's for a touchdown, he might have fought and dove and kind of, you know, wiggled around, taken on some contact, etc. It was pretty much, could have gotten 4 or 5 if he'd lowered his shoulder. He sees a couple defenders coming, and he slides innocuously, early. So you gave up a couple yards on the play. But he trots on back to the huddle, and he gets to fight another day. He's way less important to the Giants than Daniels is here. But that's the lesson I want him to take, is I need you for 2nd and 7 instead of now we're doing MRIs. And that's kind of the point here, right? Is there everything avoidable he needs to avoid until it's do or die, until it's that 4th and 1 at the goal line, until it's Tampa Bay in the playoff game when a guy's got you in the grasp and you escape because you're magic and you get us a first down before the doink heard around the world. Like, there has to be a time and a place where it's fine. You can run that quarterback draw to the middle when it's goal to go and we need a touchdown to win the football game. But other than that, let's rip that master right out the playbook for, you know, your 2nd and 6 on the 23. You know what I mean? Like, there are going to be opportunities. There are going to be times to lay it on the line. It can't be the default setting, which I think it is too often.
For me, I just think the running part of his game is the cape for Superman. It, you know, the ability to fly is what puts you over the top. So I'm never going to say I don't want him running around. And I don't think necessarily that's what she's saying. I think that's what people will hear and they'll get upset by. But you start from, how does he take on less contact? How does he get hit less frequently? And that's a good exercise. And I also think it's true that while I would design runs if I was Kingsbury for him, he does have to do a better job not taking big shots. The first drive of the season, go back and watch it if you forgot, the Giants game. He took 2 really awkward hits. One was right on the sideline when, like, a pile of guys, and he, like, goes down, his leg gets kind of wrapped up a little bit, and it was kind of like a, ooh, get up, okay, we're fine. The other one was, I think, his first carry of the season. It was one of these, like, designed Kingsbury things off tackle, like a power almost. And he, like, slammed it into the line of scrimmage, which, by the way, I would rip some of those downhill things out of the playbook.
Yeah.
Right? Like, but twice on that opening drive, two times. He took pretty massive hits. I don't remember that being an issue as the year went on last year. It was early, the Bucs game for sure. He took some monster hits. But generally, he made pretty good decisions. And I just think as the season has started, as the year's begun, he's been a little bit lackadaisical in that way. I don't think that's why he got hurt. It was a freak thing when he got hurt. That's the other thing. Like, that was just football, but it wasn't the middle of the field, but it happens. The bigger one is the earlier hit where he grabbed at his knee the first time, where he went like head over heels, if you remember. Nikki Javala tweeted the play out, if you don't remember it, where you kind of take a defender on. You're like doing like a shoulder lowering, like running into a guy. I never want him doing anything quite like that. You can hop in if you want at 800-636-1067. News of the day. Sounds like a sprain in the knee for Jaden Daniels. His status for this weekend in doubt right now, up in the air. We don't expect him to play on this show, but we'll get closer and closer and get more details and try to figure out exactly what's going on. Three things we think after yesterday's NFL action and the Nats leadoff before we get out of here at 6:15 coming your way on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.